What's up, everybody? Good morning.
Hi, I'm Steve. I'm on staff here. It's good to see, it's good to see you. Sorry, it's got a little loud. Really glad to be here this morning. So we are in almost, a third of the way through the semester, something like that? We're like a third of the way-ish through our semester-long series here on James, and I feel like it's just been good to do. I've really enjoyed it personally. I feel like I've been learning a lot. James feels like a kick in the pants sometimes. That's okay. Sometimes we need that. It's been good. But I've been really encouraged by what I've seen so far. You know, we've gotten a lot of good feedback from you all. People are like, oh, this is kind of scratching a niche, whatever that means. You know, it's good. I feel like you've been learning stuff. It's been nice to see people cracking open your Bibles, pulling up your app, you know, all that stuff, whatever Bible thing that you like to use. And then just seeing people just write stuff down, whether it's in your bulletin or program, whatever you want to call it, or in your journal. Just last week, you know, I filled up two, full pages of my journal. It's just good stuff. And so, Sarah, kudos, wherever you are. There you are. So it's good. Good, good, good. Keep it up. Keep doing it. It's good. So what I like to do is I like to take a moment and pray. But here's what I want to do. If you will notice that I am wearing a Honduras soccer jersey. I picked it up a little south of here a couple years ago. And bless you. Because I'm going to be going to Honduras next week with our team that's going. So here's what I want to ask. If you are participating in one of NLCF's mission trips, could you please stand up? Awesome. Y'all. Okay, great. Now, keep standing. Now, if you're here and you are going on a mission trip with some other ministry, some other church here in Blacksburg, some church back home, or you're doing something mission-y, please stand up. Nice. Good. Good job. Now, everybody else, please stand up. I want no one to feel left out. Please stand up because we are all missionaries, every one of us. So you can sit back down, everybody. Right. I don't like people to feel left out. So I want to pray. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for this time that we can get together and worship and be with you and hear from you and your spirit. I pray that you would minister to our hearts, to our minds, to our souls through your word in James today. Lord, I lift up all the mission trips that are happening. Father, I pray for safety. I pray that you would do amazing things over spring break. God, I know that many of them are service-oriented. Many of them are going to be heavy on sharing the gospel. Some are going to be both. Some are going to be just connecting with you and your word. Lord, would you do great and amazing things over spring break? Lord, and for those who aren't going on a specific trip, God, I lift them up too. Lord, would you allow for spring break to be a refreshment? God, that it would be a time where they get rest, where they get restoration, as it were. God, would you speak? And I pray that when people come back, Lord, that they would just be ready to knock out the rest of the semester. Lord, would you speak to all of us? Would you guide us and minister to us? We love you. We pray all this in your name. Amen. Cool. Morgan, if you want to come on up. There you are. So today we're talking about an interesting passage. It's James. If you have a Bible or whatever you're using to read scripture, pull up James chapter 3, right at the beginning there. We're kind of just progressing through James as we go. A number of us on staff, we're in seminary right now, and we're doing an intensive on models of evangelism. And our seminary professor, I was just talking with him on Friday, it's like four class sessions, that's it. And they're like 9 to 5 on these Fridays. And I was telling him what I was going to be teaching on today. And he's like, oh man, that passage, it pretty much just teaches itself. And once we read it, you'd be like, oh snap, yeah, that's right. It's very straightforward and clear as to what is trying to be communicated. But even that being said, I think it's good for us to dive in a little bit deeper today. And so Morgan is going to kind of read today's scripture.
James chapter 3, 1 through 12. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water.
Thank you. A little light reading this Sunday morning, you think? It's good. You know, a word comes to mind, and that is dang. You know, when I read that, it's like, holy smokes, that's crazy. Now, you know, a few weeks ago, I was up here talking, and I shared how a friend of mine once said that James can sometimes feel like this 2x4 is just like poof, right upside the head. That's like one of those passages where it can feel like that. But it is certainly good for us to study scripture like this as a community, because it helps keep us in check. So we're going to dive in. This passage starts off with, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Now, what James is, we're just kind of go a little bit here along. What James is talking about is that he's referring to people who teach scripture in public settings, like this guy right here. And very specifically, and I think that James, if he was here today, he would even throw in people like engaged group leaders, a small group leader, you know, something like that. He's talking very specifically about that. He's saying that what you need to do is you need to be sure that when you are because you are teaching the Word of God, that you have to be practicing what you preach. Like, that is what you have to do. It's nice. He goes on a little bit later, and we'll talk about it in a minute. He's like, but you're going to mess up. So, you know, there's that. But you're going to be judged more strictly on it. And so just know, like, that's kind of the way that things are. When I first used to read this, I thought, okay, well, what he's doing is that he's saying that everything that he talks about right then just applies to people in a public setting like this. But just through a little bit of digging and just really just kind of reading it and going through it slowly, you realize that he's saying, teachers, yes, this is a big deal. Like, you will have... You have to look at the words that you say and know that you will be judged a little bit more strictly. But we all, and then he goes into the second part of this, is that we all struggle in many ways. And so that's kind of what he says here in verse 2. He says, we all stumble in many ways. He shifts from teacher specifically to all of us. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check. And we know that none of us are perfect. A lot of us, we strive to be perfect. We're what they call perfectionists. But we all fall short of that. And so, again, shifting from teachers to everybody. And when I read this, that's probably the most encouraging thing in this passage, which is a little sad. But what he says is that we all stumble in many ways. We all have our stuff that we're dealing with. He's not just saying, come on, guys, duh, give it the program. You can do it. This is what you got to do. No grace here. He's not saying that. He's just saying, like, you know, we all have our stuff that we have to deal with. So it's nice to know that James affirms that everything he's talking about is likely going to be difficult for us to do. But he's also clear that it is still what God desires for us. So now James, he shifts into talking about some imagery to kind of describe the way that the tongue works. And by tongue, just so we're clear, he's not just talking about, he is talking about the thing, but he's talking about our speech. I think we all are probably clear on that. But so he says, think about a bit in a horse's mouth. A bit is just a small little tiny piece of metal, but it has a lot of influence. You pull it one way, a horse goes that way. You pull it the other way, a horse goes that way. And so there's that. He says, think about the rudder on a ship. You have this big, large ship and a relatively small rudder, but that rudder can kind of guide the ship wherever the pilot would want it to go. And then he gets into an analogy that I think it can make us a little uncomfortable sometimes. And he talks about how, he said, consider a small spark and how it can set a whole forest on fire. We see examples like this all the time, especially when you think about out west, all these big forest fires where it's like thousands and thousands of acres that are being burned up. It all happened, somebody, whether it was like a four-wheeler backfired and shot a spark out or something, or somebody flicked a cigarette out of the window. It starts small, but then it gets really big really quick. But that's the real uncomfortable part. What can feel uncomfortable is what he says here in verse 6. It says, the tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. In a Bible commentary that I have, I was just kind of looking through this passage. This is what it had to say about this particular section. It said, in our microcosm, the tongue represents or constitutes the unrighteous world. Basically, if we are representative of how the world can function, the things that come out of our mouth are a representation of that. And so it's tongue, the things that we say are a big deal. If we let it, if we let the tongue do what it wants, if we let it have a mind of its own, it will let loose. It will shoot off, or it has the capacity to shoot off. It can get us into a lot of trouble. Remember a few weeks ago when we talked about Jesus' teaching in Luke chapter 6. He's talking about how good trees will produce good fruit, bad trees will produce bad fruit. That Sunday we were talking about how the things that are going on the inside of us will affect the things that we do on the outside. And there in 6:43, Jesus says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So again, the tongue is, in a way, one of the first revealers of what's going on in our hearts, in our minds. The point that James is making here is this. Though the tongue is small, it has the ability to have a big impact. Please write that down if you're writing things down. Again, though the tongue is small, it has the ability to have a big impact. There are two things I'm going to address today when it comes to the things that we say. The first is the things that we say directly to people. And then the second is the things that we say indirectly about people. We'll start with the things that we say directly to some way, to some people. Recently, we did a staff, this past Monday, we did a poll on campus. Occasionally we go out to the drill field, we hand out like stuff like fruit snacks, hot chocolate, stuff like that. Just a way to meet people and hang out and have fun. But we also wanted to get a poll for this Sunday, and we asked, we had used this chalkboard last semester, if you remember, we asked, what is freedom? And people wrote down some interesting answers. Well, this week, we wrote at the top here, and I realize you probably can't read it. I think we have a picture. Is there a picture up there somewhere? If you just go to the right a bunch, there it is, back, there it is. You probably still can't read it. But at the top, we wrote small words that have a big impact. And then there is a positive, I realize y'all over there, you cannot see this, but there's a positive side and a negative side. You can see it up there. But basically what we were asking was, what is something that somebody has said to you, maybe it was an offhand comment, maybe it was like purposeful, but it was just a short little thing that had a big impact on you. It could have been a bad thing, you know, something negative. It could have been a good thing, something that was positive. And people had some interesting answers. On the positive side, we'll start with that. Beautiful. Nice accent. I like this one. Somebody wrote, "How are you doing?" Sometimes a simple question of, "How are you today?" That can really go a long way. Somebody said they were proud of them. Tenacious. Good person. Lovely. Smart. Incredible. These are just great things. Small words or phrases, but they had a big meaning at that time. Then there's the negative side. Gorilla legs. There was another one. Was it muffin top? That was there. And that came from a dad to the daughter. Yeah, hearing some of the stories that people shared about this was like, I want to punch that person in the face right now. You're not strong enough. You're pretty, but not beautiful. Weirdo. Boring. Oily skin, I was connecting to. Lazy. You're not smart enough. Four eyes. These are just small phrases, but man, they hit you right here. They had a big impact. It was just really interesting hearing the way that people would approach the board. I want to point out something, though, that you may, it's kind of like what you may notice on the board versus what we heard. Now, looking at the board, you might notice that on the left side, the positive side, there's a lot. There's a lot more stuff that's just written down. I didn't count them out, but there's more there. On the negative side, there's not quite as much. And it took a while for people to actually start writing negative things down. We had a lot of people walk by on a drill field. And I was thinking in my head, I was like, man, I must have had like a rough childhood compared to like everybody in the world, because I can remember a lot of bad things that people said, but nobody's writing anything down. What was the deal? And eventually, you know, people did, but here's what people said. They would walk up to the board, and they would kind of stare at it and think about it, and they would walk over to this side, and they would say, I really just want to write something over here. I don't really want to write. There is stuff I could write over here, but I don't want to think about that. I heard a number of people say stuff like that. I mean, it wasn't maybe the exact same phrase, but a lot of people, they didn't want to write on the negative side. And as I thought about it, I realized that it's likely because they didn't want to have to relive it. They didn't want to reflect on it. Those negative things meant a lot, and they wanted to leave it. The things that we say to people, even if it's something offhand, have the potential to either make their day or to cause a lot of hurt. Our words matter. So these are examples of things that we would say directly to somebody. This type of direct speech to someone and its effects are generally pretty obvious. Let's talk about indirect speech. Pop quiz. When I say indirect speech about someone, especially when they're not around, there's a word that we use to describe that. What is it? Gossip. That is right. Okay. Good job. Sorry, Catherine, you did raise your hand. I think you're the only one. Gold star. Okay. Gossip is all around us. We've seen it. We've probably even taken part in it, whether we were the gossiper or just the person who is listening. If I had to guess, I would bet that everyone here would fit into one of two categories and possibly both. That there's the I've had someone or some group of people gossip about me, or the I've gossiped about somebody else, whether you were the person saying something or you were just kind of in the conversation. Quite possibly many, if not most of us, could fit into both categories. Gossip, I think it's one of it's a bigger deal than we give it credit. I think it happens more often, and I think it's probably more of a problem than we give it credit. There are entire sections of newspapers and television shows that are just oriented around gossip. I think it's almost safe to say that it is a big part of our culture today. But here's the thing, that doesn't make it right. Just because it's a part of our society does not make it a good thing or a right thing. We need to address it. because it's so prevalent, it's difficult to deal with. You know, some of those things that are like, it happens everywhere, and you kind of want to be that person. You're just like fighting against it, because that's how you fight against words. You think, it just feels like a losing battle. And maybe it is, but it's worth it. I think there's two types of gossip. Write these down, if you can. There is the normal, everyday kind of gossip. And then there's the Christian type of gossip. I'll explain this one here in a minute. The obvious type is like the he said, the she said, I heard this. Anytime that somebody comes up to you and begins a phrase with, or almost any time that somebody comes up to you and begins a phrase with, oh my goodness, did you hear about so-and-so and how they blank? That's probably gossip, in case you didn't know. It's probably gossip. And so unless that you have heard that thing about that person, come from that person, you have likely just stepped into a conversation that's going to be gossip. Maybe it's not even, it might not be meant to be hurtful. It might be rather innocent. Sometimes it's just like a juicy bit of information that somebody just wants to pass off because it's like, oh, I got to tell somebody. You know, it's gossip. Now, I don't feel like I have to go into a ton of detail and really just kind of break down how this works. You guys get what gossip is. But then there's the Christian type of gossip. This one's interesting. You might have experienced it. You might have even done it unintentionally. Yes, there is a Christian. I'm gonna do this because I don't think it's very Christian. For the most part, it has all the same ingredients as normal type of gossip. There's likely a person being talked about who's not there. There's someone that has either seen or heard something about that person. They're usually the gossiper. And then there's at least one person, if not a group of people, who didn't hear the news about the person in question. And it likely started with, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? But there's one thing that sets this apart, that supposedly makes it all okay, and what makes the Christian, and it's what makes it the Christian type of worship, gossip, is that it ends with one critical phrase. Does anybody know what that is? We should pray for them. Oh my goodness, did you hear about so-and-so and how they did? I couldn't believe it. That's so crazy. We should pray for them. That makes it all okay, doesn't it? No, it does not make it all okay. It is gossip. Likely there's no prayer afterwards either. It's not like you huddle around and say, okay, we're going to pray for this person. That usually doesn't happen. It's gossip, you guys. It's gossip. It's not good. Out of our mouths come praise and cursing. That's what James says. We praise God and curse people. Now, maybe you're thinking, like, I'm not dropping the F-bomb. I'm not, you know, if somebody was to, like, block out every little thing I said, you know, I don't have, like, the beeper following me around. Taboo. It's a good game. But when we say something negative about somebody, or we say something about somebody who is not there to defend themselves, that is diminishing them as an individual. And that's kind of what comes from. Praise is really to edify, to lift up. That is kind of bringing honor to somebody or something. To curse is to diminish somebody or something, to tear down. That is what gossip does. And so we have to be very considerate about the words that we use. As followers of Jesus, we are changed individuals. There is this new life that happens in us because of who Christ is and what he has done for us. Because of his life, death, and resurrection. And we all mess up. We're not going to just walk out of here and be like, oh, and never gossip again, probably. We're going to slip up and into it. But we have to work at it. You know, we get that we can, you know, owe God our lives. And know that we have to, you know, we want to worship him, we want to serve him, we want to read his word and be like Jesus. But when we speak ill of someone or we're making commentary on their misfortune, James is saying we might as well not even be praising God at all. We may think of gossip as innocent, you know, that person's not around, but it isn't. I'm not going to ask for a poll on this, but I imagine that there are some of us here in the room that we have been gossiped about. Somebody has said something about us, maybe it was negative, maybe it was true, maybe it was untrue, and then we heard about it. When you hear about how somebody has gossiped about you behind your back, it hurts. It does not feel good, and so it can cause damage whether we think it is at the moment or not. So I want to read a passage. We talked about this before. This is from Matthew chapter 22. I think it's up here. But this is verses 36 through 38. There were some religious leaders around Jesus, and they were trying to trip him up. You know, they were trying to, like, test him and see what he knew and what he believed. And this one guy came in and he said, "All right, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." I do this all the time. Jim, pastor of NLC, he had talked about this, I think it was last semester, how that word neighbor means the next one. So the person next to us. So that's pretty much everybody. Because that was a question that came up. Like, oh, who's my neighbor? Everybody. duh. So quite simply, when you break this passage down, he's saying, love God, love people. One of the most obvious ways that we can love the people around us is by the things that we say to them. My wife and I, we do premarital counseling with couples who are going to be getting married. And one of the things that we talk about is how love is not just this gushy feeling of like, oh, I love him, he's so great, you know, excuse me. But it's like, that's part of it. But that is the emotion of love. Love is a commitment. It is a thing that we say, I'm going to do this. That's why in your vows, it's like, in good times and in bad times, you know, all this stuff. It's like, there has to be a commitment that is made. Because some days you're going to wake up and be like, oh, I got to spend the day with this person. You know, I love you, babe. You know, she thinks that about me too some days. So, you know, it's like there are these days, like we have to make it, it's a choice. It has to be conscious, intentional decision. And I like to use this phrase that as Christians, we are called to be these agents of love. We're just like throwing it out like candy at a parade. No, it's not like that. But like, when you think about it, so we receive God's love. God in his word, through his spirit, he's loving on us. He is explaining his love and just his commitment to us. And we, in turn, are called to love people. That's what Jesus is saying. Love the people around us. Be these agents of love for God, for Jesus. And so if somebody is having a rough go at life, we shouldn't just talk about them or like be like, man, that sucks to be them. You know, we should intentionally care for them, appropriately talk to them, love them, be there for them, pray for them, serve them. That is what we need to be doing. I'm reminded of a lesson that I learned a while back about the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. Jim, a couple weeks ago, talked about like a cliche teaching that he had heard. This might be one, I don't know, but we have a picture. Yeah, there it is. And so the Sea of Galilee, it's the one on the top, as you can probably read right there. This is the place where like Jesus did a lot of his ministry, big fishing community. It is a freshwater lake. It's a big lake. Just a lot of life there, a lot of excitement. Then there's the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is, like, the water that is in the Dead Sea got there from the Jordan River. The Jordan River connects the two. Now, so the Sea of Galilee has, like, these tributaries and streams that flow into it, and it has water that flows out of it, and it has this, it's just got life. The Dead Sea is a very unbalanced body of water. It is super salty. I think it was like top five or something like that in the world. Like ridiculous. Like you see these pictures online, people just like floating there because like the water's like, well, here you are, floating, salt. I don't know the math behind it. That's fine. That doesn't matter right now. But like the thing about the Dead Sea is that it doesn't have water that flows out of it. No water goes out of it. And so the water just kind of has to evaporate and just go somewhere. So, you know, when I think about it like this, there's this sense of like, okay, we have to be like the Sea of Galilee, where we have this water, like this love of God that pours into us. And then in turn, we have to allow it to flow out of us so that we can truly live the way that God has called us to live. That's where this fights right up against gossip and the things that we say. And so we need to be balanced. If we are experiencing God and giving him praise for the things that he's done, and we need to be loving and respectful to the people around us. Because remember, we're all created in God's image. James even talks about that very specifically. And so if we're not doing that, then our faith is unbalanced. So there are some things that I think would be good for us to do this week. If you could write these down, that'd be so awesome. Or click a picture of it, type it in your phone, I don't care what you do. But here's what we have. One is reflect on your own personal speech. Does it build up people or does it tear down people? This is a hard one to think about sometimes because you really, I just want to be honest. I am not always a respectful person to the people around me with the things that I say, especially to the ones that are closest to me. And so I am constantly making, like, I was super convicted yesterday because of an argument that I got into that was just dumb and it was my fault and I shouldn't have done it. We need to reflect on this and to say, Lord, how do you want me to navigate through the things that I'm saying? How can my speech be more loving and gracious? If you're having a hard time figuring out, like, do I struggle with this? Is this a problem? Ask somebody who is a believer, a Christian around you, who is brutally honest and say, just tell me. Don't sugarcoat it. Just tell me. I mean, you have to be ready for this. Maybe pray before you ask them. You know, say, tell me, how do I do with in regards to all this? Number two, if you hear gossip happening, or you're finding yourself about to start gossiping about somebody, address it right then. Now, this one takes a little bit of prep work. You have to kind of like prepare for it. You have to be ready for what you're about to say to the person because it's countercultural. Remember, gossip is all around us. It's a thing. And so we have to, when we start fighting against it, people are going to be like, okay, that's weird. But they'll respect you for it. You know, I had this friend in college that was one of those Christian gossipers. And our kind of community, our small group actually, we all knew about it. And she would do that, oh my goodness, did you hear about, we should pray for them. It was to the T, this is how this individual would say things. And it was like annoying, and it was a little frustrating, but we all loved this person. And so we talked about it. It wasn't gossip because we were like, we're going to serve this person. And any time that they said, oh my goodness, did you hear about this, and I can't believe this, we would say, hey, I'm a little uncomfortable by this. I think that you need to go talk to that person and pray with them. And it was like awkward, but enough of us said it that eventually this person got the picture and they just stopped doing that. And so you got to address it. We need to be agents of love. That's what we got to be. So number three, what is something small yet significant that you can say to three people in the next 2 weeks? Between now and the end of spring break. And by this, I mean good. Not the gorilla legs. You know, not that. But what is something small and significant that you can say to somebody to just love them, to make their day, to help them feel good about themselves? Number four, read James. Number five, read James twice. 2x there. Okay, number five. Take time over spring break. It's coming up. And do two things. One, do something refreshing. Just do something that is refreshing for you. Just enjoy life a little bit. Something good. Something good and refreshing. Number two, be refreshing to somebody that you know. How can we be this light to somebody? How can we love somebody? You know, make them cookies. Here's some examples. Make them cookies. Tell them how much you appreciate them. Ask them how you can pray for them. And then pray for them right then. just stuff like that. So I think if we do these things in the next 2 weeks, we'll start to realize, like, man, okay, so the things that I say, they matter, they affect people. How can I be the love? How can I represent the love of Christ to these people in the things that I say and even in the things that I do? Directly. There you go. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning and this time that we can get together to worship you, to read from your word. Lord, I ask that as we go about this week and next week, that you would help us to be more aware of the things that we say. Lord, we are not going to do this perfectly, ever. But Lord, you can guide us through this. Thank you for your grace in all of this. You are worthy to be praised, Lord, and so we should do things that are praiseworthy, Lord, to help people see you in us, Lord. Because it is not about us. It is about you. And so, God, would you minister to people through us and minister to us as well. Again, we love you and pray all this in your name. Amen.